Inside Red Bull Bora Hans Grohe, the podcast from UVB Online on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we join team manager Ralf Denk as he leads the biggest and most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.roofovbmedia.de. And now enjoy the new episode.
Stage 4, 4 mountains and 40 degrees in the shade. The road to Force demanded a lot from the riders. A large lead group formed early, including Nico Denz and Chant Ratnik from Team Red Bull Bora Hans Grohe. But in the end, Mats Pedersen defies the conditions best and wins the finish in a sprint. The Norwegian Thorstein Treen also secures the yellow jersey after the peloton controlled everything today. Yes, as always, we look at all the action with our team manager on site. And for that, I welcome, as always, Ralf Denk.
Hello. Good evening to Rosenheim.
Yes, you said it yourself. Good evening. We are a little bit later today, which brings me to two questions right away. There was the long transfer yesterday. And where am I catching you today that we are recording a little bit later than usual?
Yes, yesterday we did the podcast before the transfer, but today the internet was so miserable at the finish line that it was actually impossible to call to talk today, and that's why we finished the transfer first. We just arrived at the hotel, and my first to do is the podcast now.
That does you credit, Ralf. The listeners will definitely forgive you. And yes, if it is not possible on site because the connection is too poor, then we will do it a bit later. We are flexible there. The main thing is that you get to hear something. Second question, which I still need to catch up on from yesterday, was a question from a listener. He mentioned that Tim from Bike looked not too good at the start of the stage. Yesterday, you said you hadn't been able to speak with him yet. Was there an update on that, or can you say something about it?
No, everything is fine. Sure, everyone had to struggle yesterday after the two hard opening stages on Saturday and Sunday. But everything is fine, and he can do his job here in the race. So there is no reason to be worried.
Wonderful. So the all clear from the team manager. Yes, Ralf, let us look at today's stage. We already mentioned it yesterday. The breakaway riders were involved today and very, very early on. 35 men formed at the front, and you had two guys with them, Nico Denz and John Tratnik. Feel free to take us through that. Was that planned exactly like that, or did it more or less just happen?
The race situation played out exactly as I predicted yesterday. A large group will fight for the stage win and, if necessary, the yellow jersey, which Tadej Pogacar wore yesterday, will not be defended at all costs. And that is exactly what happened. It was never suboptimal for us. We were represented by Nico Denz and Jan Tratnik in the large over 30-man breakaway group. We would have liked Maxim van Gils to be there too. That was our very clear goal this morning at the meeting. But you can see it's not a wish list here who can ride and who cannot. Maxim van Gils won a very similar stage to today's at the Critérium du Dauphiné 3 weeks ago. He was one of the top favorites with the bookmakers for this stage today, and no one wanted him in the group. And that is why it was actually impossible. We just discussed it again on the drive back. Whenever I lifted my backside, I had 10, 20, 30 people on my rear wheel. So for him, it was actually impossible to get into the group today. Many were against it, and that is why he was not there today. And that is why the result perhaps did not turn out the way we had hoped.
Okay, so the plan was different, but you reacted. Jan Tratnik rode away at the penultimate climb. What was the idea behind that? To somehow use the two guys as you have them so he might get away? And if not, that Nico Denz would have more energy for it? Or what was the plan there?
The Lidl Trek team was represented up front by three very strong riders and above all by the winner, Mats Pedersen. Beating Mats Pedersen in a sprint is impossible. So the last hope was to find salvation in a breakaway. And Jan Tratnik tried that. Unfortunately, he had Matthias Vacek from Little Trek with him, but he didn't do any of the work. That means he had to do most of the work alone. And so it was just an attempt. But in the end, it was pretty hopeless because too few riders went with Jan Tratnik when he attacked. And then there was no harmony in the three-man group because Matthias Vacek from Little Trek was basically waiting for his captain, refused to take a turn at the front. And so it was actually a hopeless endeavor, but you have to try. If you don't try, if you head into the sprint to the finish line, then with Mats Pedersen, then you know that you will probably only finish second. And that is why I can both Jan Hurt and Nico Denz, who was then the second rider from us in the lead group, who fought like a lion on the final climb against the strong mid-mountain riders. Unfortunately, he could not quite keep up, but I cannot blame him either. As a flatland rider or a ruler, there was simply nothing more in it for the two of them in the lead group for us today.
Yes, we saw today exactly what happens when you reach the final straight with Mats Pedersen. In my view, he did not even ride the perfect sprint because he started quite early, but there was simply no chance for anyone to stay on his wheel. Since you just mentioned it, Little Trek didn't do any pace setting because there were three of them and they knew they had Mats Pedersen. That's a valid tactic and clever, right? Would you say they did everything right and really gave it their all today? Or would you say, okay, they could have used a little bit of support after all?
No, we would have done the same if the roles had been reversed. It is just, cruel myths or tactical games that you can play in cycling. They went for the sprint. The guys from Little Trek, they had a clear plan. That is why I have to cover breakaway groups. They did that with Vacek, but they just did not pull. That is common, and that is why we are not angry with them, and they deserved to win today.
All right, then one more sentence about the new wearer of the yellow jersey, Torstein Train from Uno X Mobility Team. Can you tell us something about him? He has a history. He received a cancer diagnosis and now he is in the yellow jersey. Two questions on that. First, it is probably a huge story for him. And second, it also looked like Pogacar did not necessarily want to wear it for the next 3 weeks, but was quite willing to give it up.
Yes, as mentioned at the start, it was the strategy of Tadej Pogacar and his team not to defend the jersey to the very end. They did not do that. That Torstein Train, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, this wearing it now makes me happy because firstly, he already wore the leader's jersey for a long time in the Vuelta last year. He knows how that feels. He is experienced there. Secondly, he really had cancer and that in a career, it is not so easy to process all that and then to recover and then to come back. So certainly a great fighter, although I do not know him personally. And then it is a Norwegian team where only Norwegians and Danes ride. So they basically don't take any foreigners except for those two nations. And the team has a great sense of national pride towards Norway, towards Denmark. And it's only in its first year now in the World Tour. They were promoted last year. And of course, it's a great success for the team to be wearing the yellow jersey now. I know the manager, Thor Hushovd, personally. I am also happy for him and a great thing. And yes, cycling also benefits from stories like these.
Yes, looking at it now, 8 minutes ahead, he is a great fighter. Mind you, 8 minutes over Tadej Pogacar. In between, they also place two others, but is that so much that you say it is all within reason, all good, or perhaps not so little after all?
The cushion will hold for a few stages now, so that will be tomorrow. Tomorrow, we will get to that in a moment. It is likely the first sprint. But I believe that the 8 minutes will even hold up on the Tourmalet stage. And I do not expect the wearer of the yellow jersey to be in the top five in Paris, but he will certainly wear the jersey for a few days.
Wonderful. We will take a look at that. Ralph, I need a sentence or two about what is going on over there. I mean, there are brutal heat waves. I saw 40 degrees showing on many thermometers. The riders are clearly showing the strain. I also heard in an interview with Nico Denz that you were even penalized for yesterday for handing out feedbacks where it wasn't allowed, and that despite the heat. Tell me what is going on there? These are extreme conditions, aren't they?
Yes, it is indeed very, very hot. Normally, you are only allowed to hand out the little bags that some of you might know, which contain bottles, bars, and gels in specific feed zones. You are actually not allowed to hand out the bags from the car. Now, in this heat, the bags are often also packed with ice, like the kind you can buy at our gas stations. This ice is packed into pantyhose, and the pantyhose let the cold water through, and you put that on the back of your neck while riding. That's how you basically cool down your body core temperature. And yes, we handed those little bags or pouches out of the car. You are not allowed to do that. You are only allowed to do that from the outside, from the roadside in certain zones. We got a penalty for that. Then the rule was lifted anyway by the UCI and the organizer here, because it was simply common practice for all teams and no one followed the regulations. Everyone just had the interest in cooling their riders as best as possible. Whether we get the 500 Swiss francs credited back, I am curious. I do not know yet.
That must otherwise be in the team fund for some teams, because practically everyone did it. Well, what options are there if it actually gets even more extreme? I heard from Florian Lipowitz earlier, the riders are also discussing it among themselves, of course. Do you as a team have ways to intervene, be it different start times, shortening the route, etc.? Is something like that conceivable in the coming days, or how do you see it?
Yes, there is a sort of a riders union. The riders union is in contact with the team union, with the organizer, and with the World Federation that controls the regulations here, the established regulations. And of course, there is an extreme weather protocol.
There is currently no heat protocol yet.
Maybe that will be introduced at some point, and we'll have to see what the measures are then. Changing something overnight, shortening it, or moving start times, that obviously involves a huge chain of consequences. It involves team logistics, it involves television broadcast times, and so on. So I don't think you can change that overnight. Whether that will be changed in the medium or long term and considered, I don't think now is the right time to discuss that during the Tour de France. Right now, you can really only hope that it gets a bit cooler and that there is a perfect cooling strategy for the riders. Because one thing must be understood, cooling does not end after crossing the finish line, because the body is so overheated and must then be cooled to initiate the recovery process. And that means the rooms where the riders sleep must be air conditioned. Yeah, we also have our own additional air conditioning units with us. After the race, ice baths are taken to simply cool down the entire organism, the whole body once again. In addition to the whole cooling strategy we already have during the race, it is an enormous effort. Also for the staff, an extra effort, but we do the maximum possible to make life as easy as possible for the racers.
Yes, I can give you a little teaser. We will come back to this, not just regarding what you all do, but perhaps also how the riders and so on prepare for it. There is a lot behind that, but it would take us too far, especially since I want to talk about something that was announced, namely that Jai Hindley has extended with you long term, as they say. Can you say something about that? It's happening right now while he is riding the Tour de France for you. He said you have become like a second family to him. He won the Giro 2022 for you. He is a guy who has become one of your most important riders, right?
Yes, and from several perspectives. First of all, still great respect and also gratitude for his first Grand Tour victory for the team.
He won the Giro d'Italia for us in 2022. We had never won a three-week tour before. He was the first. Primož Roglič was then the second in 2024, who won the Vuelta a España for us. But that was truly a milestone in the team's history.
Then on a human level, he is just an incredibly good guy you can rely on 100%, who loves his sport and always gives his all. And then, of course, he is also blessed with a talent that very few in the world have, you know. So winning a Grand Tour, finishing fourth at the Vuelta a España last year and third at the Giro d'Italia this year, those are really very good and great results in three-week tours. And he is also versatile. He can ride as a team leader or as a domestique. And that is something you do not see very often, those who can fulfill two roles. And that is why we reached an agreement with him. And I am also pleased with how he committed himself to it. He is riding the Giro d'Italia. He will not sign anything beforehand, even if he gets offers from other teams. And we will talk after the Giro d'Italia. We did that, and it did not take long. And then we shook hands, and now we will continue for the next few years.
As you said, the next few years, anyone who has listened in more often or reads the respective announcements knows you never give exact dates. Still, I have to ask, long-term definitely means several years.
It is for several years, and there is a reason why we do not disclose that. And because the final paragraph of most contracts states that both parties agree to keep the contents confidential, and the contract duration is part of the contract, so I will not talk about it.
All right.
He will still help you for a while, among other things, tomorrow. Even if it seems to me at first glance, you already hinted at it earlier, doesn't look like many challenges, but rather like a chance for the sprinters who are probably, well, leaving Pedersen aside today, he's a bit of a hybrid model, but the other pure sprinters are likely craving a chance tomorrow, right?
Absolutely, and they really didn't have it easy at this year's Tour de France. They had a brutal start. They had to complete the difficult team time trial. They completed the tough Barcelona stage on Sunday. They suffered yesterday. Pardon my language, but like picks the sprinters, because that was super, super hard. And some only just made it in before the time limit yesterday. And today, again, nothing for them. And tomorrow, most likely the first sprint. And I believe the teams that are hoping for something there will do everything they can to ensure there is a sprint. That means no breakaway group will reach the finish, but rather that the entire peloton will turn onto the finishing straight tomorrow, and then the fastest will win.
Does that mean for you protecting Remco and Lipowitz and making sure you keep up, or do you have some other task?
We definitely have a mission tomorrow. You can never say you don't have a mission in a race, because you can fall at any meter and you always have to stay focused and concentrated. But primarily, we will be happy tomorrow once the 3 kilometer mark, or the time for the general classification, is effectively taken, is reached, provided we have not been involved in any crashes up to that point. And then we hope for tomorrow that it will be a crash-free and relatively pleasant day for us, because the big Pyrenees stage on Thursday is already waiting.
Wonderful. And we will speak again then for today. Thank you very much and have a lovely evening in France.
My pleasure, and best regards and a lovely evening back to Hosenheim.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and ePen Media. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.